Oh, I said he's all that we need. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, ladies, for singing. We're in Luke chapter 24 this evening. And again, I'm going to do my best to be short and get you out of here early tonight and go home and enjoy time with your family. But we're in Luke chapter 24, and I still want to preach. I hope you listen. Hope it means something to your heart, and you'll be blessed by the message tonight. And maybe leave here with a decision made. I know when I read it, the Lord challenged my heart, and I hope He'll do the same for you. We're in Luke chapter 24. We read verse 28 to 32, but we're going to start a little bit early in the chapter in verse 13. Kind of go through this chapter, go through some verses, an introduction, and then we'll get right into the message. It says in verse 13, Luke 24, 13, this is the story. Dr. Carr alluded to it this morning. In verse 13, it says, "And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 60 furlongs. Talking about some disciples of the Lord, some of Jesus' disciples. And they were taking this trip to Emmaus, to a village called Emmaus from Jerusalem, about 60 furlongs, which is about a two-hour trip. And these two were on their way. It says in verse 14, "And they talked together of all these things which had happened." If we know the story, and I know we do know the story, Jesus, 3 days earlier, had died on a cross, was crucified. And then that morning of the same day this story takes place, Jesus had rose from the dead and the tomb was empty. And these men were, these disciples were walking and talking and talking about all that had happened. It says, and it came to pass, verse 15, that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. Now it says commune together and reason, because the bottom line is these two disciples, They weren't sure what they believed at this point. Yes, they had heard that Jesus had risen, but they hadn't seen him yet. They were reasoning, what could have happened? What happened to the body? What happened to Jesus? What's going on here? You know, they thought this was their Redeemer. So they were reasoning, trying to figure things out. And Jesus himself drew near and went with them. He was going the same direction and just kind of started, they started walking the same direction, tying it together. And it says in verse 16, "But their eyes were holden that they should not know him." They didn't realize it was Jesus. I don't know if it was the Lord that closed their eyes to realizing it was him, or if it was just they didn't recognize him, or what. Or they were so overcome with grief that they didn't realize it. But either way, the bottom line is they didn't realize this was Jesus. And he said unto them, Jesus said unto them, "What manner of communications are these that ye have one to another as ye walk and are sad?" He said, "What's going on? Why are you upset? What's going on?" And the one of them in verse 18, whose name was Cleopas, answering said unto him, "Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days?" Really, Cleopas answered the Lord, not knowing it was the Lord, but answered in a kind way. He said, "Listen, have you read the news? Have you watched the news? Have you seen what's going on? Man, you don't know what's going on nowadays? You haven't seen it?" And he kind of asked him, "How do you not know?" And this was Jesus, the one that it happened to with Jesus. He knew. And he said unto them, verse 19, he said unto them, "What things?" Let me just pause here for just a moment. I almost preached a message right from that passage, because as I read, I immediately thought, here Jesus is talking to these two disciples. He knew what they were talking about. He knew their struggles. He knew what they were sad about. He knew all that. But he still said, "What things?" And you know, in our lives, when we're going through struggles, yes, I know the Lord knows everything, but He still wants to hear it from us. Amen? He still wants to hear it from us. He still wants us to talk to Him about our struggles, about our griefs. But that's not the message tonight. He said, "What things?" And they said unto him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty indeed, in word before God and all the people. And how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him." Now, let me pause there again. When they said concerning Jesus of Nazareth, you want to hear something cool that I learned studying this out? When they said Jesus of Nazareth, that's the first time recorded in the Gospels that Jesus' disciples referred to him as Jesus. Every other time they would have said Master or Lord. And that time they said Jesus. Why did they say that? Part of the, maybe they had such hope that this was their Redeemer. And then he was crucified and put in a tomb that they just kind of had lost hope. So instead of being Master and Lord and teach, it was just Jesus now. It was just Jesus. That was his name. I'm not sure why, but maybe it was that. And it says in verse 21, "But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel." Right there they said it. "We trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done." Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came saying that they had not all, that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it, even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. You think for a second, it sounded kind of like, if you read it, it sounded like these men, these disciples kind of were like, yeah, the woman said they saw something, but you know, a woman these days, who can really trust them? It kind of sounded like they were saying something like that. But they said, listen, you know, they didn't know what they believed at all. They were doubting. They didn't really have much hope. And so they didn't see him. Verse 25, then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So here's this stranger. We know it was Jesus. These men didn't know. This stranger really calls them fools. It's slow to heart to believe and begins preaching to them from the Old Testament, where the prophets in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the Pentateuch, begins preaching this message. Man, what an amazing, I would love to be there and hear Jesus preach that message about himself, kind of showing how the Old Testament told of his coming and of his death and explained it to them. And it says he expounded and he preached to these men. It says in verse 28, and they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further. Brother Dr. Carr this morning mentioned this in his message about how as they're walking, they're getting ready to get to their destination. And Jesus made it seem like he was going to go on further. And he mentioned this morning, he wants to be wanted. And I believe this. Maybe Jesus was kind of kept walking because he wanted to see if they really wanted him around, if they really wanted him to stay, and they really wanted to listen to him. And it says in verse 29, they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. They constrained means to strongly and kindly urge him to stay with them. And it says, and he went in to tarry with them. So Jesus stayed with them. And it came to pass as he sat at meat with them, sat at dinner, he took bread, blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And verse 31 says, and their eyes were opened. Maybe God finally allowed them to realize it was him. Well, maybe as Jesus took that bread and blessed it and brake it, reminded these disciples of the communion that the Lord had spoke about and had told them to not forget about him. Maybe as he broke that bread, they saw the nail prints in his hands. We're not sure, but either way, their eyes were suddenly opened and they knew him. And he vanished out of their sight. What an amazing story this is. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way and while he opened to us the scriptures? The message tonight I want to take from that phrase in verse 31, and their eyes were open. The message is simply this, open your eyes. Open your eyes. These disciples, what an unforgettable memory in their hearts as disciples of Jesus Christ. As they walked for hours probably with Jesus on these roads to their village and he talked to them and he preached to them and they shared their sorrows with this stranger and suddenly as they're sitting down for dinner, this stranger breaks the bread and blesses it and passes it and suddenly their eyes are opened and they realize it's their Savior, it's the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, their Redeemer who they had doubted sitting right there at dinner with them. What an amazing moment that must have been in their lives, an unforgettable moment. Their eyes were opened. And the message tonight, as I said, the title is Open Your Eyes. Open your eyes. I want to give three things. When I open my eyes, there's three things that I see. Let's read down in verse 33. Verse 33. It says, and they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem. This is after Jesus had vanished out of their sight and they realized Jesus was alive. Returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, the Lord is risen indeed, and hath appeared to Simon. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. They came and told the other disciples, Jesus is alive, he's alive! And because their eyes were opened. When I opened my eyes, number one, when I open my eyes, you know what I see? When I open my eyes, I see someone who loves me. I see someone who loved me. When I open my eyes, I see someone who loved me. Look down at verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled, and why do thoughts arise in your heart? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me, and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. I see in those verses, as Jesus appeared before them, Jesus got there and first things he said was, Peace be unto you. He comforted them in their time of trouble. He knew they had doubt. He knew they had lost all hope. And he said, Peace be unto you. He cared about his disciples. He said, Why are you troubled? Why do thoughts arise in your hearts? He asked about their problems. He loved them. He helped them through their doubts. And then he wanted to spend time with them. He said, Do you have any meat? And he sat down and ate with his disciples. He showed them that he loved them. And when I, as a Christian, open my eyes spiritually, I see that someone loves me. I see that somebody loves me. Somebody loved me. The Bible says in Romans chapter 8, For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor any of the things shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I see that someone loves me. The Bible says, For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. When I open my eyes, I see that someone loves me. Listen, I may be loved by others. I know I'm loved by others, but there's no one that loves me like Jesus loves me. When I open my eyes and I have clear sight spiritually, I know and I can remember that somebody loves me. In church tonight, friend tonight, never, never, never forget. No matter how tough things get, no matter where you are spiritually, that someone always loves you. Everyone else in your life can fail you, but Jesus still loves you. Open your eyes and realize that there's someone who loves you. There's someone who loves you. When I open my eyes, I see someone who loves me. When I open my eyes, I see something else. Let's read on. Verse 44 says, And he said unto them, after he ate with them, he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, and that they may understand the Scriptures. And he said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behoved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remissions of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. Number one, when I open my eyes, I see someone who loves me. And number two, in these verses, I see, when I open my eyes, I see something that needs to be done. Something that needs to be done. Jesus, in this passage, gives his disciples the Great Commission and challenges them to go out and preach repentance and remissions of sin among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. He gave them a job to do. He wanted them to share his story in his death and burial and resurrection to the whole world. Repentance and remission of sins. When I open my eyes, not only do I see someone who loves me, but I see something that needs to be done. And that something that needs to be done is sharing Christ with the world. Sharing Christ with anyone that I come in contact to. Do I fail? Yes, I do. Do I pass out of track every time I should? No, I don't. I forget. I get nervous. Listen, but I have a job to do. And when I open my eyes, and when I'm right with God, and when I'm walking with God the best I can, and my eyes are truly and spiritually opened, I know that there's something that needs to be done. And I can see that clearly, that there is a real hell and people are really going there and I've got to do something about it. Open your eyes, church, and realize that something needs to be done. You never know where someone is at. You never know what that track can do for someone. You never knew what that being a witness and asking someone about their eternity can help a person. I want to share a quick story with you. I shared it with some yesterday at soul winning. But Thursday evening, my wife was not feeling well, and I didn't go to volleyball. I stayed home and took care of her. and which is, I guess, a good thing to do as far as I'm concerned. Amen. And take care of the boys so she can rest. Well, about 6:30, 6:45, I decided I was going to go over to Polly's and get her some ginger ale and saltines. And she was feeling a little bit better, but she's still an upset stomach. So I got in my van. And if you know our driveway, the church parking lot connects to our house. And it's kind of a dirt road. Then it turns into our driveway. And then about halfway up, it turns into cement and goes in the garage. Well, it's with the snow melting and freezing and melting and freezing and melting and freezing back and forth and the rain and everything else. It is one section has got very, very soft and very, very muddy. And usually what I'll do is I'll back out of my garage and I'll pull straight and go kind of through the church parking lot and pull out there. Well, this evening, for some odd reason, I decided to back into the church drive and kind of go out my regular driveway straight out. Well, as I backed up, I hit right in that soft spot, right in that muddy spot, and my van bottomed out right in my driveway. I'm talking all the way down. And as I put it in drive, I didn't even move. And as me, as a man trying to get out, you know, it's times like those I miss my Jeep Cherokee. I really do, four-wheel drive. But I don't have four-wheel drive, so I started trying to rock it back and forth to no avail. I came over, got some guys to help push me out to no avail. It was stuck. Thankfully, we have a AAA membership, so I called AAA and had them come. Now, by that time, it's getting later, 7:30, and they said, well, he probably won't be there about 8:25. I said, okay, you know, I'll get it when I get it. So finally, the tow truck driver comes, and a young guy, he was my age, 24 years old, and he's trying to get hooked up, and he realized it was a pretty good stuck. It was stuck pretty good, and he found a spot underneath the rear wheels and hooked it in there and then slowly pulled it out and got it out. It was great. And I went in and got my AAA card, brought it back out to this young man as he was sitting in his truck. I had to give him my numbers. He's writing down the numbers there, and I'm talking to him and just, you know, making small talk, and I had a track. I was just going to give him a track. He asked a question about our church. I can't remember the question he asked, but either way, he asked a question about the church, and then he said, you know, I was at a funeral there a couple years back for a friend. And I said, really? And I'm thinking back, and since I've been here, and I'm thinking, you know, he told me he was 24 years old, so he's my age, and I'm thinking, who? And I said, was it a young man? And he said, yeah, he was a friend of mine. He was in a motorcycle accident. And I immediately thought of Miss Robin. I said, Miss Robin Owens' son. He said, yeah. He said, yeah, I know Miss Robin. He said, I know Robin. She was like a second mom to me. He said, Jamie was one of my best friends. He was like a brother to me. I said, really? And we began to talk about Jamie. And he said, you know, he really helped me. And we talked about that. And I said, man, and I said, you know, and he was, his radio's going off and he's getting ready to leave. And I said, well, you know, I said, Andrew, I mean, I said, man, just come visit us sometime. I said, but listen, I said, as far as we know, Jamie's in heaven. I said, and I want to give you this. It shows how you can know for sure that you're going to heaven. And I just passed it on to him, and I was going to leave it at that. Well, this young man, Andrew, began talking to me, really kind of opening up his heart. He turned his radio off, and he started talking to me. And he said, you know, I've just been going through a lot lately. He said, you know, I 5 weeks ago on the job, I was unlocking a semi, and I got hit by a car on the job and bruised some kidneys, broke some ribs. He said, and I just, you know, I really shook me up a bit, really made me think about a lot of things. He said, you know, this past Tuesday, my grandfather just died, and he was looking for some hope. Amen. He was looking for something. And praise the Lord, I got to give him the plan of salvation. And Andrew Craven was saved right there in his tow truck. Amen. Amen. And listen, nothing that I did besides just doing my job as a Christian. But listen, we don't know where someone's at. I mean, you talk about divine appointment. How many divine appointments have I missed? How many divine appointments have we missed? Amen. Right. Because of our fear, because of being too busy. Listen, if we're too busy for God, we're too busy than God ever wanted us to be. But divine appointments, listen, we don't know where someone's at. We don't know when someone is looking for an answer, when someone is looking for hope, and we have the only hope that can help them, and we don't give it to them. Oh, listen, when we open our eyes, we see that there's something that needs to be done. There's something that needs to be done. Listen, in your job, there's something that needs to be done. In your family, there's something that needs to be done. Teenagers, in your school, there's something that needs to be done. In this city, in your community, there's something that needs to be done. We've got to share Christ with the world, folks. That's our job. That's our job. Open your eyes, church, and realize that there's something that needs to be done. Open your eyes and realize, open your eyes and see that someone loves you. I open my eyes and I see that there's something that needs to be done. Look down at verse 50. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Amen. When I open my eyes, I see someone who loves me. When I open my eyes, I see something that needs to be done. When I open my eyes, I see somewhere I'm going. I see somewhere I'm going. These disciples watched as their Savior didn't die again. No, he didn't. But was raised to heaven. And listen, when I open my eyes, I see somewhere I'm going. Listen, this country may not be getting any better. Hey, this state may not be getting any better with the decision that was made on Saturday. Listen, this city may seem like it's in shambles. Your family may seem like it's struggling. Listen, so many trials and struggles in life and tough times and financial stress, and your kids may be away, and this may happen and that may happen, and job problems. Listen, all those things may happen to me, but listen, this world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. There's somewhere else I'm going. I know it's true. Listen, I have a home in heaven because Jesus saved me. When I open my eyes, I see somewhere that I'm going. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to see Jesus face to face. No pain, no sickness, no more goodbyes. Oh, when I open my eyes and I'm close to Christ and I'm walking with God, I'm doing my best to do those things, and my spiritual eyes are open, I can see Jesus. Listen, I know that there's somewhere I'm going. There's somewhere I'm going. He saved me. Nothing can get me. I'll never spend a second in hell because He saved me. When you open your eyes, you'll see that there's somewhere you're going. You won't have to walk around with a frown on your face any longer. Amen. You'll be able to walk around with joy in your heart and a smile on your face and a pep in your step because there's somewhere that you're going. Amen and amen. We know the song, there is coming a day when no heartache shall come. No more clouds in the sky, no more tears to dim the eye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day, glorious day that will be. There'll be no sorrow there, no more burdens to bear, no more sickness, no more pain, no more parting over there. And forever I will be with the one who died for me. What a day, glorious day that will be. Oh, folks, when you open your eyes, you'll see there's somewhere you're going. There's somewhere you're going. May we as a church open our eyes. May myself as an individual, Donald Savini, may I open my eyes and make sure my vision is clear so I can see that someone loves me. No one else may love me, but someone loves me. May I see that there's something that needs to be done. Listen, we're called to do it. We're called to do that something. We're called to share Christ in our lives. And may I see that there's somewhere I'm going. Someone who loves me. Something that needs to be done. And somewhere I'm going. Open your eyes, church. Open your eyes. Our heads are back.